السلام عليكم.
سلام زاهد زاهد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الحمد في الآخرة والأولى، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثه بالرحمة والهدى، صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه النجباء والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا أيها الإخوة في الله، سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. في هذا المساء المبارك نهنئ أنفسنا وإياكم بلقاء هذا اليوم وهذه الأمسية، لقاء تطمح إليه القلوب وتأنس فيه النفوس وتشنف فيه الآذان بما تسمع، لقاء يفرح به المسلمون الحق في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها، لعالم الأمة وإمام من أئمة أهل السنة وبقية السلف في عصرنا. أنتم أيها الإخوة مع سماحة الشيخ العلامة عبد العزيز بن عبد الله آل الشيخ، مفتي عام المملكة العربية السعودية ورئيس هيئة كبار العلماء ورئيس اللجنة الدائمة للإفتاء، وسماحته لا يخفى عليكم من أسرة عريقة مباركة. الله يبارك فيك يا شيخ، تستحق أكثر. الله
وش موضوع شيخ؟
وموضوعنا هذه الليلة أيها الإخوة هو تفسير قوله تعالى في سورة النساء: وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم، ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لاتبعتم الشيطان إلا قليلا. أيها الإخوة، إن جمعية القرآن والسنة بنيويورك لتفخر بلقاء سماحته معنا وإياكم في هذا المساء المبارك، ونشكره على إجابته لدعوتنا، ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعل ما قدم للأمة وما يقدم في صحائف أعماله وفي موازين حسناته إنه سميع مجيب، وأن يبارك له في وقته وعمره، وأن يمده بالعافية والطاعة، وأن يجعل ما يقدم لهذه الأمة في موازين أعماله. أيها الإخوة، نترككم مع سماحته فليتفضل مأجورا مشكورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وعلى التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، أيها الإخوة الأعزاء، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. من نعم الله علينا وجود هذه وسائل الاتصال والتقنية الحديثة تربطك بأخ لك مسلم في أقاصي الدنيا، بينك وبينه آلاف الأميال، لكن هذا من تيسير الله وتوفيقه، وتلك وسائل قامت بها الحجة على العباد، فإن الله جل وعلا يقول: وأوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به ومن بلغ، فمن بلغه القرآن فقد قامت حجة الله عليه. هذه الوسائل الاتصال والتقنية الحديثة سهلت الوصول إلى إخوان لنا في العقيدة، تربطنا بهم عقيدة الإسلام وأخوة الإيمان، وإن تناعد الديار وتباعد الشقة لكن القلوب متقاربة، ولله الفضل والمنة. إخواني في جمعية القرآن الكريم في نيويورك في الولايات المتحدة، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أسأل الله أن يوفقني وإياكم لصالح القول والعمل، وأن يجعلنا من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهل الله وخاصته، أن يجعلنا ممن اتبع القرآن فقاده إلى رضوان الله والجنة، وأن لا يجعلنا ممن اتبعه القرآن فزخ في قفاه إلى النار. أسأل الله أن يجعلنا وإياكم ممن يقيم حدوده وحروفه، ويعمل بمحكمه ويمشى به، ويتلوه حق تلاوته. أسأل الله أن يجعل القرآن لنا يوم القيامة شافعا، وفي قبورنا مؤنسا، وفي الدنيا نورا نستضيء به، وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا، ما كنت تجري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان، ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا. وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم. نعم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, the introducer began in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows and grants mercy. All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all of the worlds, which much abundant praise, which is good and blessed, just as He loves and is pleased with. We praise Him and we worship Him alone without any partner. To Him belongs the praise in this life and in the hereafter. I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and messenger, whom Allah Azza wa Jalla sent as a mercy. May Allah extol prayers, salutations upon him and all of his noble companions and family members and those who follow them in goodness until the day of judgment to proceed. O brothers and sisters, for Allah's sake, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. During this blessed night, we are very excited and we congratulate each other with having the opportunity to meet with the scholar of this nation and one of the imams of Ahl Sunnah and one of the remainders of the pious predecessors during our current times. Oh brothers and sisters, we are with the eminent Sheikh Al-Allama Abdulaziz Ibn Abdullah Al-Sheikh, who is the Grand Mufti of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the head of the Council of Major Committee of Scholars, and similarly the head of the Standing Committee for Rulings and Verdicts. And His Eminence, may Allah preserve him, is not hidden from you, and everyone knows the Sheikh. So therefore tonight we are extremely happy and extremely excited to have this opportunity for our Sheikh to speak with us and explain the verse in Surah An-Nisa, which is the 83rd verse in the Surah An-Nisa, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "That which is translated to me, when there comes to them some matter touching public safety or fear, they make it known for everyone. If only they had referred it to the messenger or those in charge with authority among them, the proper investigators would have understood it from them directly. And had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, you would have followed Shaitan, save a few of you." So therefore, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity, and we thank the Sheikh for his response to our invitation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this lecture, this speech that He gives us, into His scale of good deeds. That He place it in His scale of good deeds. And that He bless him in his time, in his life. And He extend him upon obedience and worship. And that He makes that which He gives for the Muslims in His scale, and makes His scales heavy with righteous actions. So therefore, oh my brothers and sisters, we will now leave you with the Sheikh. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, "In the name of Allah, all praise is due and belongs to the Lord of the world. All praise belongs and is due to the Lord of the worlds. O Allah, extend prayers and salutations and blessings upon your slave and your messenger, Muhammad, who is the most noble of all of the prophets and messengers, and all of his family members and companions to proceed. O my noble brothers and sisters from the Quran and Sunnah Society of New York and the United States, from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, is that He has given us these modern means of communication and these modern ways of technology. So therefore, my Muslim brother is in a very far part of the world. He's very far away from me, thousands and thousands of miles away. However, because of Allah, the facilitation of Allah and the success given by Allah, we can use these modern means and use this technology to contact each other and to stay in touch with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, the verse which was translated to me, and this Quran, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this Quran has been revealed to me, in order that I may warn you, and whoever it reaches. So therefore, the one who the Quran reaches and comes to, then Allah's proof has been established upon him. So therefore, these favors and these blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this modern technology, is a blessing, and at the same time, because of it, the proof is established upon many people that it wouldn't reach before. So therefore, it's made things very easy and facilitated things in a great deal. Oh my brothers and sisters, verily, we are connected and attach to each other with our aqidah, with our creed, and with our iman, our faith and our belief, even if our homes are remote and far from each other. But however, the hearts are close together. And this is because of the bounty of Allah and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, my noble brothers and sisters in the Quran and Sunnah Society of New York, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I ask Allah to give us all the success, to be upright and steadfast in all that we say and all that we do, and to make us of those people who are people of the Quran, those individuals whom are Allah's special slaves, Allah's chosen ones, and to make us of those who follow the Quran, conversely the Quran will lead them to all good pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to the paradise, and will not to make us from those who do not follow the Quran, consequently it will lead them to the hellfire. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us from those who establish Allah's set limits and who set Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rulings and regulations. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who implement the Quran and act upon the Quran, all of the Quran, those verses which are clear and masterful, and those verses which need further explanation and detail. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recite the Quran in the proper, correct manner. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran for all of us and intercede for us on the Day of Judgment. And it will be something which will give us comfort in our graves and righteousness. I ask Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, the verse which is translated to mean, O you who believe, fear Allah and believe in His Messenger. He will give you a double portion of His mercy, and He will make for you a light by which you can walk straight and forgive you of your sins, and Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Naam.
إخوتي الأعزاء المؤمن يعمل بكتاب الله يؤمن به بأنه كتاب الله الذي أنزله على عبده ورسوله محمد تكلم الله به وسمعه جبريل من رب العالمين مشافاه وبلغه جبريل نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم مشافاه وإنه لقول رسول كريم ذي قوة عند العرش مكين مطاع ثم أمين وعصم الله هذا القرآن من أن تمتد إليه العابثين من شياطين الجن والإنس فقد حرس الله السماء بالشهب حتى منع أرسالنا من أي يقرأ شيئا من القرآن إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون فهو محفوظ في تنزيله ومحفوظ بعد تنزيله فلا تستطيع أيدي العابدين زيادة أو نقصان أو تغيير بل هو محفوظ بحفظ الله ورغم العدا له منذ انزل إلى اليوم فلن تستطيع أي قوة أن تحذفه أو تزيد أو تنقص فيه فإنه كلام الله محفوظ نسخ الله به كل الكتب وجمع به معاني ما سلمه من الكتب وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومهيمنا عليه.
نعم. Oh my noble brothers and sisters, the believer is the one who acts upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes in it and has faith and total conviction that it is the book of Allah which He has sent down upon His slave and messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with which He spoke. It is the speech of Allah that Jibreel heard from Allah, the Lord of the worlds, directly from Him. And Jibreel alayhi salam conveyed it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly to him. As Allah has said in the Quran, the verse which is translated to mean, verily it is a noble wording or a noble statement. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. It is the word of a noble messenger. It is the word of a noble messenger. He says, who has power and authority with the possessor of the arsh, the possessor of the throne, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected this Quran from the people who play around and wish to change and alter and pervert the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the devils of the jinn and the mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guarded the heavens with the shooting stars to protect the devils from hearing and stealing anything from the revelation or doing any perversion to the revelation. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, the verse which is translated to mean, verily we have sent down the remembrance and we shall guard it and keep it safe. So therefore, the Quran is protected from the time it has been sent down until to this current day. No one can change it and do any type of perversion to it. No one can omit anything from it or add anything to it. Instead, it is protected by Allah's protection. No one can play any games with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the Quran has abrogated, annulled, and cancelled all previous books that Allah has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has sent down. The Injil and the Torah and all of the previous books. The Quran, it contains all of their meanings. And it is the best and the most masterful of these books. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "And we have sent down to you the book, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in truth, giving confirmation with that which, with those books that came before it, and predominant over all of those books." Naam.
إخوتي الأعزاء، إن هذا القرآن فيه الهدى والنور، فيه التوحيد لله وأسماء الله وصفاته، فيه توحيد العلوية رب العالمين، فيه الأمر والنهي والحلال والحرام والآداب والأخلاق. قال الله تعالى نبي وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. تقول عائشة رضي الله عنها: كان خلق النبي القرآن، خلقه القرآن يطبق أوامره ويجتنب نواهيه ويتأدب بآدابه ويتخلق بأخلاقه صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. هو ذكر للأمة وعز لها، وإنه لذكر لك ولقومك وسوف تسألون. لقد أنزلنا إليكم كتابا فيه ذكركم أفلا تعقلون. نعم.
All my noble brothers and sisters, verily the Quran contains guidance and light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Tawheed of Allah, and the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Tawheed of the Lord of the worlds. And the Quran is the command and the prohibition, the lawful and the unlawful. And the Quran are the etiquettes and proper manners of conduct. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has said in the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "And verily you are upon an exalted standard of character." And he also says, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character was the Qur'an. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character was the Qur'an. He would implement the Qur'an, implement the commandments of Allah, avoid the prohibitions of Allah, and take the etiquettes of the Qur'an. Take the etiquettes of the Qur'an. So therefore, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an example and the point of emulation for this entire nation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, the verse which is translated to me, "And verily, this Qur'an is a remembrance for you and your people, and you will be asked." And you will be asked. Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, "And we have sent down to you a book which contains your remembrance or your reminder, shall you not have any sense." Naam.
Ikhwati, inna al-Muslima yadabbara kitab Allah, wajadzi isti'ala lil-dunya wal-akhirah, والخير الكثير والآداب الحسنة والفضائل. نقرأ قول الله جل وعلا إخبار عن حال المنافقين: وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لاتبعتم الشيطان إلا قليلا. إذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو أمر من الخوف أذاعوا به، نشروا ما سمعوا دون أي روية ودون أي تأمل ودون أي تعقل ودون الرجوع لأهل العلم الذين يفهمون الأمور ويعرفون الأحوال ويستدلون على الواقع بالأدلة. أولئك الذين أمهضهم الله بصيرة في أمورهم ووعيا في قلوبهم ونور يستضيء الضيون يستضيء الضيء لهم الطريق ويهديهم إلى الخير. نعم.
Oh my brothers and sisters, if the Muslim were to ponder upon the Qur'an, the Book of Allah, he would find the happiness in this life and thereafter. And he would find abundant good, and all types of good character, moral conduct. If we would recite the, and not similarly, we would recite the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking about the munafiqeen, the verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And when there comes to them some matter about safety or fear, they make it known and they publicize it. If only they had referred it to the messenger or to those charged with authority from among them." To the end of the verse. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says here, this verse means that when these people hear any type of news, or any type of information that comes to them, or their safety or fear, public information, they spread it out. and they announce it, and they declare it, without any type of investigation, without slowing down and taking their time, without any type of patience. But as soon as they hear it, then they spread it out. They don't return back to the people of knowledge, those who understand the affairs correctly, those who have knowledge of the states and the conditions, those who can use the current state of affairs, and or those who can apply the adilla, the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, to what's currently going on. He says those people or those individuals that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them insight with regards to their affairs, and He has given them understanding and memorization and life in their hearts, and He's given them a light with which they can illuminate the road for the people. Now,
إخوتي إن المسلم إذا سمع إذا جاء أمر من الأمن أو أمر من الخوف لا يذيع به بل يخفي ذلك حتى يعرضه على أهل العلم والفضل لينظر الواقع فلعله أمن ملبس ولعله خوف أيضا غير صادق ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم فالذين يستنبطون الأمور يدركون حقائق الأمور ويدركون المراد ويفهمون الحقائق أما أولئك الذين يشيعون كل ما سمعوا ويذيعون كل ما سمعوا مما ليس عندهم تمييز بين حق وباطل وبين خبر صدق وبين كذب وبين هدى وضلال يسرعون فيما يذيعون ما يقولون وفي الحديث كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يكذب أن يحدث بكل ما سمع وفي بئس مطية القوم زعموا نعم.
Oh my brothers and sisters, whenever an affair comes to the Muslim of public safety or fear, then he must present it to the people of knowledge. He shouldn't speak about it and talk about it and enter his own opinion until he presents it to the people of knowledge. Because this thing may be, it may seem clear, and it may seem obvious, it may seem permissible, so on and so forth, but this may not be the case. So therefore, this fear could be false. And if they would have only returned it to the messenger, those who are charged with authority from amongst them, then they would know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, they would know who can decide the correct manner, or who could deduce it in the correct manner. The Shaykh hafidhahullah ta'ala, he goes on to say, Naam, so therefore, those who don't have no understanding, who have no knowledge of the correct affairs and the reality, and what's going on, they should not speak. Rather, they must return back to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Those who do not know the falsehood from the truth, those who do not know that which is correct from that which is incorrect, those who do not know the guidance from misguidance, they must not be hasty in what they say. And it is reported in the hadith that is claimed that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, it is sufficient, or a man is sufficient in sin, sufficient portion of sin, to speak about everything that he hears. Now,
إخوتي الأعزاء. فالمسلمون في شدائدهم ورخائهم يرجعون إلى كتاب ربهم وسنة نبيهم صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم لذوي العلم والفضل منهم ليوضح لهم السبيل ويهدوهم الطريق وينيروا لهم الحال ويبصرونهم ويهدونهم طريق الله المستقيم إن السرع في الأمور والحكم على الأشياء بمجرد البديهة لا ينفع ولا يفيد بل لا بد من تأمل وتعقل ولذا قال الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة وتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين فالحكم على الأشياء في ظاهر أمرها وفي بداءة أمرها لا يجوز بل لا بد أن يكون الحكم صادرا عن ترو وتأمل وتعقل الأمور ودراسة للأحوال حتى ينطلق المسلم من منطلق صحيح ويسير على نهج واضح ويسلك الطريق المستقيم نعم.
Oh my noble brothers and sisters, the Muslims, whenever something comes to them, whether it's hardship or adversity or prosperity in good times, they must return back to the book of their Lord and the Sunnah of their Prophet, and then to the people of knowledge and those who have virtue from amongst them, in order that they make the path clear to them and guide them to the straight way and instruct them with that which is correct and that which is upright. Being hasty in affairs and speaking just based upon what something seems to be is of no benefit. Is of no benefit whatsoever. Rather, we must ponder, we must reflect, and we must slow down and take our time. Take our time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the verse which is translated to mean, O you who believe, if a sinful person comes to you with any information, then make clear. Make clear, seek clarity. Unless you will afflict the people with ignorance. Unless you will afflict the people with ignorance. So therefore, we must take our time and we must investigate the affairs. And it is unlawful for us to speak instantly on that which seems to be apparent. No. We must go back to the people who have knowledge and also have the ability to study what's going on and to investigate what's going on. Is this correct or incorrect? Those people, once they give us this ruling, then we can tread upon a clear path. And we can tread upon a clear methodology and a lucid way. Now,
إخوتي إن المسلم في أموره كلها لا يتضرع في الأشياء ولا يحكم عليها بمجرد البداءة البديهة بل ينظر ويتأمل في الواقع وينظر هل أمره على ظاهره أم على خلاف ذلك فإذا جاء الخوف تأمل ما هدف هذا الخوف أخوف طبيعي أم خوف مبني على حقائق أم خوف مصطنع وكذلك إذا جاء ما يفرحه لا يسرع بذلك وإنما يتأمل الواقع فعسى أن يفرح بشيء فيه ضرره وعسى أن يخاف من شيء فيه خيره فالمسلم العاقل يرجع الأمور إلى أهل العلم والفضل ومن عندهم بصيرة في أمورهم ليدله على الطريق المستقيم ثم قال ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لاتبعتم الشيطان إلا قليلا نعم لولا فضل الله لولا توفيقه لولا هدايته لولا تبصره بنا لولا هدايته لنا ولولا بعثة نبينا فينا لاتبعنا الشيطان إلا قليلا نعم.
Oh my brothers and sisters, the Muslim and all of his affairs is never hasty. He's never hasty. And he never makes a ruling based upon what seems obvious. Rather, he looks and investigates. And he takes his time and he slows down. So if anything of fear comes, is this real fear? Is this actual fear? Or is this something which is an illusion? We must look and investigate. We must look and we must investigate. We must not be hasty. Similarly, something may seem fearful, but in reality it will bring happiness to the Muslims. Or something may seem that it will bring happiness to the Muslims, but it will bring fear and grief to the Muslims. So we must return back to the people of knowledge and return back to the people of virtue and seek their guidance and seek their instruction. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and if it had not been for the mercy of Allah upon you and his virtue and bounty, you would have followed shaitan, save a few from you. All of you will follow shaitan. All of you will follow shaitan if it wasn't for the guidance of Allah. If it wasn't for the from Allah Azza wa Jalla singing the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you would follow the devils, save a few. Now,
إخوتي, فالشيطان عدونا يجري منا مجرى الدم لا يستر عنا يقعدنا بكل طريق ليصدنا به عن صراط الله المستقيم. قال تعالى عنه قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. وقال الله عنه قال أرأيتك هذا الذي فضلت علي لئن أخرتني إلى يوم القيامة لأحتنكن ذريته إلا قليلا. ولكن الله عصى من عباده المخلصين إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان. نعم.
Oh my brothers and sisters, Shaytan is our enemy. He is an enemy. And he walks with us like blood flows in our veins. And he never falls short from trying to deviate us and try to corrupt us and try to get us to fall into that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and removing us from the straight path of Allah. Allah has told us about this when he said in the Quran, speaking about Iblis and when he was cast from Jannah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla said that Iblis said, so because of you turning me away from the path, I will lie and await, and I will wait for them and hide and then attack them and deviate them from your straight path. And deviate from the straight path and you won't find most of them thankful. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He also narrated to us that Iblis said, that the devil, he said to Allah, "Have you not seen this one that you have given virtue over me?" Speaking about Adam. "This one that you have given preference over me, virtue over me, if you give me respite, if you grant me respite, if you delay my life until the day of judgment, I will deviate all of his offspring. I will send all of his offspring astray." The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, however, Allah Azza wa Jal, He protects His slaves, those who are sincere and pure and devout to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will protect them from the plots of shaitan. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said in that same verse in Surah Al-Isra, "Verily, you have no power over my slaves. You have no power over my slaves." Now,
أيها الإخوة في جمعيات القرآن الكريم في نيويورك، أوصيكم بتقوى الله، أوصيكم بالتأقل في الأمور، أوصيكم بالعناءة في الأحوال، أوصيكم بعدم الحكم على الأشياء بمجرد البديهة، أوصيكم بالاتزان التام والتأقل التام، أوصيكم بسلوك الطريق رجح العقل وتحكيم العقل على العاطفة، أوصيكم بأن تحرصوا على أن تكون هذه الجمعية جمعية خيرة، جمعية الرحمة والإحسان، جمعية تصلح ولا تفسد، وتبني ولا تهدم، وتجمع ولا تفرق، وتبصر الأمة وتدعو إلى الخير. أوصيكم بأن تكون مواقفكم مواقف خير وهدى، اشتغلوا بما ينفعكم، واحترموا الأنظمة التي أنتم فيها حتى لا تنتهى من قدركم. إن أعداءكم يتربصون بكم وتزيدون أخطاءكم، فحاولوا إصلاح أوضاعكم، وأن لا تزجوا بهذه الدعوة في مكان أو حال تقضى عليها، بل حاول تثبيتها. نعم.
Oh, noble brothers and sisters, in New York, of the Quran Society of New York, I advise all of you with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to think correctly in all of your affairs. And I advise you to avoid making rulings upon things based upon haste and based upon what seems to be obvious and plain and clear to you without looking into them with a thorough investigation. I advise you to tread the straight path and to have correct understanding and correct intellect, and to make rulings based upon sense, not based upon emotion and feelings. I advise you all that you be diligent and eager to make this jam'iyyah, this society, a jam'iyyah which is good and excellent, with something which brings about mercy and goodness, and which makes peace and rectifies and does not destroy and make corruption and make turmoil. Naam, I advise you to make your organization an organization that brings about unity and does not bring upon division and separation. A society that brings about insight to the nation and invites to good. I advise you all, naam, that you take stances and positions that will benefit yourselves and benefit the Muslims. And that you be careful with regards to the rules and the regulations of the country that you're living in. Because your enemies are looking for any mistake, and they're looking for anything to say, anything for you to step out of line and to say something about you. So be careful of your enemies and bring about peace, and strive to bring upon rectification of your affairs, and make your da'wah general for all of the people. Call all of the people to that which is correct. Now,
إخوتي, إن الله بعث محمد رحمة للعالمين وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. فارحموا المخطئين والجاهلين والعصاة والمخالفين. ادعوهم إلى الهدى. احمدوا الله أن نصركم وهداكم. فاسعوا في تبصير غيركم وهداية غيركم وسلوك الطريق المسلم لغيركم. اسعوا فيما يصلح الأمة ويجمع شتات أمرها. ادعوا إلى الله بتلك البلاد. واحمدوا الله أن وفقتم لإقامة هذه الجمعية. فاحموها بالعقل, محموها بتوفيق الله, ثم بالعقل الراجح والاتزان في كل الأحوال, لتستمر هذه المسيرة وتؤدي دورها وتنجز ثمارها. فإن الأمر إذا أخذ بالحكمة والبصيرة يرجى لصاحبه التوفيق, وإذا أخذ بالعجز والطيش فإنه يوشك أن يحرم التوفيق والخير. فكونوا إخوتي على هذه الحالة الطيبة, اعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا, وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى وتواصلوا بالحق وتواصلوا بالصبر وادعوا إلى الله وادعوا إلى الله. نعم.
Oh my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy to all of the worlds, to all creation. As Allah said in the Quran, and we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for mercy to all of the worlds. So therefore, be merciful to those who are wrong and those who are straight. Be merciful to the ignoramuses. Be merciful to the sinful Muslims. Be merciful to those who are mistaken. Call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thank Allah that He has given you insight in your religion and guided you. Strive and try your hardest to give others insight and to save others and to allow others to tread the straight and correct path. Strive and try very hard to correct the ummah and to gather the misunity of the ummah, the disunity of the ummah. Now, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given you the success to establish this society and establish this organization. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow you to continue in your correct efforts. So therefore, when you handle affairs with wisdom, with insight, then it is most likely or a stronger motive that the person will accept the truth and accept the nasiha and accept the da'wah. I ask, well, if you do things wild, in a wild manner like this, wildly and haphazardly, then this is something which will hold you back and prevent you from any type of success and any type of good. So therefore, this is my advice to my brothers and sisters. My advice to my brothers and sisters, that what they say be good and correct. And that Allah Azza wa Jalla, that you pay attention to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hold fast all be together to the rope of Allah and do not become separated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, and cooperate with each other upon righteousness and piety, and do not cooperate with each other upon sin and transgression. And Allah Azza wa Jalla also says in the Quran, and those, after mentioning that all of mankind is lost, except for those who advise each other with that which is correct and advise each other with patience. So therefore, call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam.
أيها الإخوة، احرصوا على كل ما ينفع هذه الأمة ويسعدها في حياتها وآخرتها. كونوا دعاة إلى الله في وسائل الإعلام من صحابة الفاز وإذاعة بكلام طيب موزون، بكلام فيه الرحمة والهدى والدعوة إلى الخير وتبيين محاسن الإسلام وفضائله، وأن دين الإسلام دين الحق، دين الهدى، دين الرحمة، دين الرفق، دين الإحسان، دين المحبة، وأن تعاليمه كفيلة بجمع الكلمة وتآلف القلوب. أسأل الله لكم التوفيق والسداد والهداية والثبات على الحق، وأشكركم إن أتحت فرصة لأتحدث مع إخواني في هذا الحديث القصير. أسأل الله أن يجعل ذلك عملا صالحا ولوجهه خالصا، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أخوكم الفقيه ويعفو ربه عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن محمد بن لطيف آل الشيخ الرياض. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
All my brothers and sisters, be diligent and eager upon everything which will benefit this nation and everything which will give it happiness in this life and in hereafter. Be called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and use all means of modern advertisement and technology, the radio, broadcasting, everything that you can do to get the word out to the people. Use good speech. Make good speech. Speech which contains wisdom. Speech which has mercy and guidance. Call to that which is good. Call to the beauties of Islam. Call to the virtues and excellent qualities of Islam. Call the people and invite the people to the religion of Islam. And clarify to them that the religion of Islam is a religion of guidance, a religion of mercy, a religion of gentleness and kindness, a religion of benevolence, a religion of love, of a religion of fraternity, a religion of people being together and unified and not split up. Naam, the hearts should be together. So therefore I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give you the success and make you upright and steadfast and guide you all and make you firm upon the truth. And I thank you all for listening and for your attentiveness. And this is a brief speech with you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this all in our scale of good deeds, to make it sincere for His face. And may Allah extol prayers and salutations upon Muhammad, his family and companions, your brother in Islam, the poor slave unto Allah, Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad from Riyadh. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أيها الأخوة، نشكر سماحة الشيخ حفظه الله على هذه التوجيهات الطيبة النيرة والكلمات النافعة التي نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفعنا وإياكم بها بمنه وكرمه، ويجعلنا وإياكم ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. هذه الشيخ الآن أسئلة سنعرضها عليكم الآن. السؤال الأول، امرأة سائلة تقول أن سائل مسأل يقول أن زوجته مصابة بمرض لا يمكن برؤها من هذا المرض، وهذا المرض لا يأتي إلا عن طريق الاتصال الجنسي، وبعد الفحص عرف أن زوجته مصاب بهذا المرض وهو غير مصاب بهذا المرض، ويريد أن يتزوج بامرأة أخرى غيرها، فهل يجوز له أن يخبر المرأة الثانية بهذا المرض، علما أن المرض ربما ينتقل عن طريق الاتصال الجنسي، فلو اتصل اتصالا جنسيا مع زوجته الأولى ربما يصل إلى زوجها الثانية، فإذا أراد أن يتزوج امرأة أخرى فهل يجوز له أن يخبرها أم يكتم ذلك عنها؟
يجب يخبرها، يجب يخبرها.
يقول أفيدونا بذلك مأجورين.
يجب أن يخبرها، لأنه قد يغشى إذا كان يعلم أن هذا يحمل هذا الداء يخبرها.
هي لابد أن يخبرها.
نعم.
The questioner thanks the Sheikh greatly for his generosity and for his time and for his beneficial speech. And now we will pose some questions to the Sheikh. The first question states, there is a man who has a wife who has a sexually transmitted disease, which is a disease which cannot be cured. It's a permanent STD. And after he went to the doctor, they found out that he doesn't have this STD, and it's just his wife. And he wishes to marry another woman, to get married to another woman, to go into a polygamous marriage. So therefore, is it obligatory upon him to inform his second wife, or is it something which is just permissible? What is the ruling of this? And keeping in mind the fact that there's a possibility for his first wife's STD to come to him and to reach the second wife. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, no, this is incorrect. It is obligatory and incumbent upon him to inform this woman before a fourth time that his wife has the sexually transmitted disease. This is obligatory.
أحسن الله إليكم، الله يحفظك. يقول السائل، من هو أحق الناس بالإمامة، الفاسق الذي لا يخطئ في القراءة أو الرجل الصالح ولكن يخطئ كثيرا حتى في سورة الفاتحة وقد يؤدي إلى تغيير المعاني، أفيدونا مأجور؟
الشيخ إذا أدى إلى أن الأم ما يحسن الفاتحة فهذا ركن أركان الصلاة، وتعذر وجود خير صالح، وأما هذا الذي عليه ملاحظات فلعل إمامته إن شاء الله سبب لصلاح واستقامة حاله.
May Allah bless you, O Sheikh. The next question: who deserves to lead the salat more? A man who is a sinner, a wicked sinner, but he doesn't make no mistakes in his recitation of the Quran, or a righteous, pious man who makes many mistakes in recitation of the Quran. So many mistakes that he even makes mistakes in the Fatiha. There's a possibility that he can change the meaning of the Fatiha. So therefore, O Shaykh, who should lead the Salah? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, if this man, the general man who's righteous and pious, who does not recite the Quran correctly, and may change the meanings, then this is something which should be stayed away from. And it's a possibility that this sinful, wicked Muslim, by him leading the Salah, it's a possibility it will be a means of him becoming guided and correct and upright upon that which is correct.
جزاكم الله خير وأثابكم الله. يقول السائل، هل الأكل والنوم على الأرض وترك شعر الرأس تركه وإزاره حتى يطول للرجل، هل ذلك من السنة؟ وإذا كان الأكل والنوم على الأرض من السنة، فماذا يلزم المرأة التي تريد أن تفعل ذلك ولكن زوجها يمنعها من ذلك؟
أولا، النوم على الأرض شيء تعبد، الشيء على فراش، أنا نام على فراش، نام على سرير، فيكون نقول النوم على الأرض عبادة، لا، ما هو عبادة. النوم على البساط على السرير كل جائز. اللهم إلا أن يرى أن النوم على الأرض أصح صحيا على الفراش، أما أن ينوم على الأرض كذا ما يصلح هذا. هذا قال ما هو بالتعبد. التعبد لله الطاعة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يرد موجودا وما يطلب معدوما ولا يرد موجودا. يصلي على البساط وعلى الحصير وعلى الخمرة وعلى الأرض مهما يوجد. أما نتعبد الله بالنوم على الأرض ليس هذا عبادة. وشعر الرأس يشرع يجب حلقه، يعني يكون واجبا بالحج أو العمرة، وما عدا هذا فالحلق مباح. ولكن والشعر قال الإمام أحمد أحب أن أطي شعر رأسي لكن له كلفة، ولكن بقى يعني حلقه في الحج عمره مسنون، وأما في غيره فهم بعد مباحات.
أتابكم الله شيخ وأجزل لكم العفو.
وليس إطالة وتعبد.
وهل الإطالة تكون من السنة يا شيخ؟
لا من السنة، لا تكون من السنة.
نعم تدخل ضمن العادات.
May Allah reward you greatly, O Sheikh, and preserve you. The next question is: sleeping and eating on the floor and parting your hair and not shaving your hair or not cutting your hair from the sunnah? And if so, if it is from the sunnah, then what is the woman to do who wishes to implement these acts of sunnah but her husband prevents her from doing so, so much that he doesn't want her to learn anything from the religion and act upon any sunnah, and he does not wish for her to learn anything from the Arabic language? The Sheikh says, sleeping on the floor and the likes is not from worship. It is not from worship. The Prophet ﷺ used to sleep on a bed. It is not from worship. The Prophet ﷺ, he slept on a bed. It's something which is jaiz, it's lawful, and it's okay to do. If a person sees that sleeping on the floor is better for his health, then he can do so. Alhamdulillah. As for something being worship and sunnah, he says no. He says, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla is by obeying Allah's commandments and avoiding His prohibitions. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would sleep on anything that was in his house, whether it was a bed, whether it was a mat, whether it was a rug, whether it was the floor, whatever he had in his household. He wouldn't go out and burden himself to get something, nor would he dispense and do without that which was in his household. Now, he says cutting hair and growing long hair is not worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make Hajj and Umrah, then you trim your hair or shave your hair. This is worship. Outside of Hajj and Umrah, it's lawful for a person to shave his head. It's lawful. It's jaiz. It's jaiz. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said, or he says that I wish I could grow my hair long. However, it's a burden. It's a difficulty in taking care of your hair and treating your hair. He says, so therefore, it's not something which is worship in itself. The question says, so it is as if it's a custom. The Sheikh says, these are things which are custom.
أتابكم الله. يقول السائل, ما هي نصيحتكم للمرأة التي تزوجت بالرجل الذي لا يصلي, أو رجل لا يصلي ولا يهتم بأمور الدين, وهي تواجه منه بقلة دعم منه لها وسخرية لها ولعائلتها, وهو لا يحمي شرفها ولا يريدها أن تتعلم, أو هو لا يريد منها أن تتعلم اللغة العربية ولا أن تستفيد من أهل العلم, وهي تخدمه وتخدم عائلته وهي تعيش معهم, وهو لا يدعمها بشيء, وهي تريد الآن الخلع منه ولكن تخشى أنه لن يدعمها أحد بعد ذلك, لا ماديا ولا معنويا. فما نصيحتكم لها؟ أتابكم الله.
تحاول إصلاح وضع الزوج ودعوته إلى الله وتبصيره والصبر عليه إذا كان لها أولاد منه, تحاول لعل الله أن يجعل هداية على يديها. تحاول هذا الشيء.
The next question, Sheikh, may Allah bless you, what is your advice to a woman who is married to a man who does not offer the prayer, nor does he show any importance to anything from the religion? Rather, he mocks her and he mocks that what she does, and he makes fun of her and her family, and he doesn't want her to learn anything from the deen, learn any Arabic language, or nothing like this. And she serves him and his family, and she lives with them. And now she wants khulat from him, she wants to divorce and to be separated from him. However, she fears that there will be problems for afterwards, she won't get married afterwards, so on and so forth. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says, this woman should try and attempt to call her husband to that which is correct, and to guide him by Allah's permission, and to correct her spouse with that which is correct. She must ask Allah to give him insight, and she must be patient upon this, especially if she has children from him. She should attempt to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and ask Allah to guide her husband via her hands. Na'am.
يقول السائل هل يجوز للمرأة أن تثقب شفتها أو شفتيها وسرتها للزينة لزوجها كما تثقب ابنها؟ أفيدونا مأجور.
الإذن أو الآن يمكن، أما السرة فلا أصل لها.
والشفة؟
لا أصل لها.
لا أصل لها.
The last question says, is it lawful for a woman to pierce her lip or her lips, and similarly piercing her belly button for the purpose of adorning herself or her husband? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, as for piercing the ear or piercing the nose, it is something which is mumkin, possible, it's permissible. As for the likes of piercing your lip or piercing your belly button and the likes, he says, then no, this is something which is baseless. Na'am.
أثابكم الله. تقول الله تقول أنها ترى في المنام رؤيا، وهذه الرؤيا التي تراها في المنام تقع في حياتها كما هي، تقول حسب سؤالها، وأحيانا تقرأ بعض الآيات من القرآن الكريم مثل الآيات مثلا التي تحث على الصبر، فتقع لها في حياتها أمور تستدعي منها الصبر على ما وجدت، فهل يجوز لها أن تعتمد على مثل هذه الأمور؟ أفيدونا أتابكم الله.
لا تعتمد، المرائي لا عمد عليها.
الرؤى وايضا الآية التي تراها يا شيخ تقول لنا
ما لا اعتقاد.
نعم.
ونفذ الشيخ في بعض كل ما فيه نظر أزاج مرعون أجل كتب مرعون ويجب أن يكون بيوت الله عن الجنس ويقاف بيوت الله عن الجنس ويقاف بيوت الله about my affairs future and future. الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى says means are not to be dependent upon. Means are not to be dependent upon and use the evidence of this.
يقول السائل هل يجب الزكاة على المجوهرات التي تحتوي الذهب الجزئي أو المطلي بالذهب؟ أفيدونا بذلك مأجورين.
كل النساء لا زكاة عليه.
The next question is زكاة obligatory on jewelry that is partially gold plated or contains jewels such as rubies and diamonds and the like. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says there is no zakah on this jewelry. There is no zakah obligatory upon a woman for this jewelry.
نعم.
أتابكم الله. تقول السائلة الحجاب التقليدي أو المنتشر في مجتمعنا هو الحجاب الملون والمزين. فإذا لبست المرأة الحجاب الأسود فتكون شاذة بين النساء. فهل يجوز لها أن تلبس الحجاب الملون أو عليه شيء الذي يشبه لبسهم؟ وإذا لبست هذا اللون الأسود هل تؤخذ لبسها لبس شهرة؟ أفيدونا ما أجل.
إذا كان بيغطي الوجه في شيء.
نعم.
إذا كان بيغطي الوجه لا بلا شيء فيه.
ولو كان ملونا أو مزخرفا لا شيء من هذا.
Next question. The traditional hijab in the society or my custom is colorful and decorated. And if a sister were to wear a plain black hijab, she would stand out and look funny. So therefore, is it permissible to wear stripes and colors in my hijab if it pertains to the customary dress of my people? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, as long as your garment covers your face, then there is no problem with this and it is lawful.
أتابكم الله. هل يجوز تشغيل الفيديو في داخل المسجد لتعليم الناس؟ يعني تشغيل فيديو يا شيخ محاضرات لأهل العلم مثلا.
The next question, what is the possibility of recording and playing videos of scholars, lectures, and the masajid for those who are unable to travel and sit with the people of knowledge? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says this is okay and there's nothing wrong with doing so.
نعم.
أتابكم الله. هل يجوز تبادل الهدايا؟ يقول السائل هل يجوز تبادل الهدايا في يوم العيد؟ وهل يعتبر ذلك من التشبه بالكفار؟
ما أحفظ شيء
نعم
لأنك تواجه التهاني وتقولها دائما ماشي إن شاء الله
لا بأس عليك.
The next question, what is the ruling on exchanging gifts on the day of the Eid? And is this something which is considered to be from imitating and taking the customs of the disbelievers? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, inshallah, this is okay, and there is no problem in doing so.
أتابعكم الله. يقول السائل ما هي نصيحتكم لأولياء الأمور الذين لا يبالون بلباس أبنائهم وبناتهم مثل أنا من المسلم لبسي يعني تشبه بغير المسلمين؟
هذه أمانة العناق الأولاد في العناق. أرجو الله أن يعين الجميع توجيه السبيل الصالح.
Next question, Sheikh, may Allah bless you. What is your advice to Muslim parents who don't show no type of care to their children and what they wear and how they dress, such as short clothing and the like, or girls wearing clothing, little girls wearing clothing that makes them imitate boys? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says children are a responsibility on the shoulders of the parents. It's a responsibility for them to look after their children, and that which is correct. And I ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to assist all of us and give us all the success towards fulfilling this responsibility.
نعم. يقول السائل أتابكم الله إذا صليت ولم أتمكن من تحديد جهة القبلة وبعد الصلاة تبين لي أنني مخطئ في اتجاه القبلة فهل يعيد الصلاة أم لا؟ أجيب هنا مأجوري لا يعيد؟
يعيد
صلاة. يعيد الصلاة فرضا أو نافع يا شيخ؟
لا لا فرضا أوكي هو كان يعيد.
The next question, or the last question, says, Sheikh, may Allah reward you well. What is the ruling of the person who offers prayer, and then after he finishes prayer, he realizes that he prayed for a direction other than the direction of the Qibla? Does he have to reinstate his prayer, and is there a difference if the prayer is fard or if the prayer is nafil, involuntary or obligatory? The Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says he must make the salat up, he must reinstitute the prayer if it was fard. As for if it was nafil, he is involuntary prayer, then he has the option of doing so. If he wishes to make it up, he makes it up, and if not, then he is not obliged to make it up.
نعم.
بذلك فضيلة الشيخ انتهينا من الأسئلة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يثيبكم ويعين لكم الأجر والمثوبة ونجعل ذلك في صحائف في أعمالكم ومزيد حسناتكم. وأنتم أيها الأخوة،
أنا مستعد يا إخوان بالتعاون معكم أي وقت إن شاء الله.
الله يبارك فيك يا شيخ، الله يثيبك ما تبص على ناجع ذلك في وزن أعماله. ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا وإياكم جميعا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. هذا والله أعلم، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
This is the end of the question and answer session. And the questioner said, Sheikh, thank you very much. We ask Allah to reward you well and to reward you accordingly to what you have, to your generous time. And we ask Allah to increase your good deeds and place all of this in the scale of good deeds on the Day of Judgment, and make your scale of good deeds very heavy. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says, this is no problem. I am willing to cooperate with my brothers and sisters in Islam during any time, inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question goes in to say, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to once again to reward us as well, and we ask Allah azza wa jal to make us of those who hear the correct statement and the best statement and follow it in the best manner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extol prayers, salutations, and blessings upon Muhammad and his family and campaign. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.